If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them tonight to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. The book of Daniel, chapter number 3. Now, I'm going to be using basically the whole book of the third chapter of Daniel. This is a familiar story. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's the story of their experience in the fiery furnace. Though it's been taught in Bible school, though we've taught it in Sunday school, I think sometimes we take these stories for granted and we don't get the deep truth out of them. And tonight I want to give you something I believe that will help you. I want to help you tonight. I want to be a blessing to you. So I'll tell you what I want to do. I want you to dive in with me at verse number 16. You know the story. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, has set up an image. And by the way, there's going to be another Nebuchadnezzar called the Antichrist. Who's going to set up an image? This Nebuchadnezzar in this passage was a type of the Antichrist. The next Antichrist is going to have an image of the beast where they're going to be required to bow down and worship and take the mark of the beast. In this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar was wanting to show his rule, his authority, and his pagan religion. And he was telling the whole providence that you've got to bow down at the image and bow down at the music. Now, I want to say something about that. I'm not going to dwell on that a long time. But isn't it kind of odd and a little obvious that Satan has always used music? I'm preaching right there. I want to give you something for your study. Go to Ezekiel 28, read about the king of Tyrus who was talking about Satan. You'll find out that Satan was heaven's choir director. You say, I didn't know that. Well, you study me out. Just go out there and see. You'll see that he had pipes or organs. He was the heaven's musician. By the way, in our world, both in religion and secularly, music is a powerful tool, sometimes for right and sometimes for wrong. Somebody help me preach right there. But right in this midst of this, there's three men. They're named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we know them by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their names were changed. And their diet was changed. And they tried to change their doctrine. But I want you to know something. They didn't change. They worshiped Jehovah God. They stood for Jehovah God. They believed in Jehovah God. And really all this chapter is about, it is about either you're going to serve the Most High God or you're going to serve a pagan God. And we'll see their stand in the fire on how many lessons we can get tonight. But I want to read one verse. And it's in verse number 16. When they were challenged by the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What matter? Either God was God, or the pagan gods of Babylon was God. And we're not shy. I preached a message years ago on the matter that matters. But I'm going to preach tonight on what really matters. I was hurt today and I was broken today. But what we all saw on TV, three more of our policemen gunned down in cold blood. Five more injured in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Ladies and gentlemen, we're this close to an out-out race war. And I'm going to say this, and you can be upset at me. All I can tell you is to turn the cat around. I don't really care right now. You hear me? What an abomination to have that Black Lives Matter in the White House. I'm preaching. Yet, what about police lives? What about white lives? What about Latino lives? What about India's lives? What about the Asians' lives? Ladies and gentlemen, I think every life matters. But I want you to know most of all what really matters, what matters most is your relationship with God and what God can do through you through the trial. Somebody help me preach. I'll give you three things, and time's going to keep me from really developing this the way I want to, but I think I can get it to you. First of all, three things about their experience in the fire and what really matters. In verses 19 through 23, God's people are a persecuted people. When they heard that these three boys was not going to bow nor bend, they heated the fire up seven times more to give them a second chance. These boys said, boy, let me give you West Virginia lingo. They said, we're not careful in this matter. What they're really saying was, hey, Buster, we're standing for God. I don't care what you're doing. We believe God. With the same, hey, by the way, if he doesn't spare us, we're serving him. But we believe that he will serve us. And he will spare us. And he will take us. So somebody help me right there. Verses 19 through 23. God's people are a persecuted people. Number one, verses 8 through 12. They're persecuted because of their standards. Look at verse number 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Somebody say amen. Somebody, hey, by the way, we are going to be persecuted for our standards. It really bothers me that our country gives more credence to the Muslims than they do the Christians. We have been openly persecuted by government. I'll say it again. We've been openly persecuted by government. But I want to tell you something. Whether we're persecuted or not, you hear me out tonight. We need to hold up the bloodstained banner. We need to keep our standards as Christians. We need to still believe that God will take us through the fire. Number two, verses 13 through 15. They were persecuted because of their sovereign. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up. And if you be ready, that what time, I'm giving you a second chance here. You can't bow again. Then the last part says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Number two, they were persecuted by the sovereign. Tell you what, folks. It's a bad thing when the leader of the free world says about this country that before they signed the Declaration of Independence, they had a national day of prayer, that we're no longer a Christian nation. And I want to say this. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you something here. I do not believe we'll spend 30 seconds in the tribulation period. But we are going to see some of it. We're going to see some trouble. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you agree with me? This world's on fire right now. I believe we're ready to explode. I believe worldwide we're ready. Look what happened in Turkey this week. Look what happened in France. Look what's happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks in America. This country's about to explode. And I say the only hope, the only help is in a God in heaven that is able to deliver us. Well, glory. Then they were persecuted, verses 16 through 18, because of their stand. You look at some of them verses. I'll just read you the last one, verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They took a stand. You know, they took a stand that was going to cost them in the king's mind, their lives. You know what really bothers me about us? We won't even take a stand with our children that they ought to be in church every Sunday. I wonder who's running our homes, kids or God or the Father. Am I preaching? We won't take, hey, by the way, if your kids are adults, you can't do nothing about it. They go and make their choices. But I want to tell you, when they're like kids, you can do something about it. You hear me out? I mean, some of us, if one person says, I don't like you, well, that flips us. Well, get in line. There's a bunch of people don't like me. And hey, by the way, I said this morning, a bunch of them don't like you either. If you're saved and you're separated, they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And I want you to know something. They don't like you either. But I'm glad God likes me. I'm glad God loves me. I'm glad God's on the throne. Whew. Number two, let me show you a second thing. Man, there's a lot here. And I'm just hitting it. Verses 24 through 27. Boy, somebody shout right here. Not only God's people are persecuted people, but God's people are preserved people. Look at these verses. Can I ask testimony? How many of you been through a fire, a trial in your life, and God took you through it? Wave at me. So you ought to be shouting right now. Hey, you were in a fire that ought to burn you up. But you're standing tonight. God preserved you. You didn't do it yourself. You didn't fix it yourself. Your intellect didn't get you out of it. That was a thrice holy God that done it. Whew. Verse 25. Are you there? We're preserved by the ever-present God. And he answered and said, lo, this is Nebuchadnezzar. Didn't we only throw three men? And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the fire. And they had no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Write this down. You boys have been in college, you people that studied the Bible. This is what they call a Christophany. You say, what does that mean? That means a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. You said, he did that? That was him in the fire. Somebody help me right here. Hey, can I say something to you? There's people in this room right now, some of my dear friends in this room right now. You're going through some of the biggest trials of your life. I want you to know something. You are not going alone. You are not by yourself. You've got a God with you. Let me give you two things about them in the fire and God's presence. Number one, they were free in the fire. The only thing the fire done is burn their bands off of their hands. Church, is it right or wrong? Were they loosed and walking in the fire? I'm free. And I want you to know, even in the midst of our trials, we're free to serve God. We're free to live for God. Even in this country that I love the most, and I believe we're at a crossroads right now. I believe this world, this country's ready to go down the tubes. But I'm glad I'm free tonight. Loosed in the fire. I don't know how many of you studied life of Charles Wesley and John Wesley. John Wesley was excommunicated from the church. And when they wouldn't let him preach in the church, he took up to the open air. And study about him and John and Charles Wesley. And study about him and Moody. Though they were limited by the government and even the state church, God used them mightily. And they were free to go out in, they went out in the pastures and thousands of people came to hear John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And they made an impact on our world. They touched two continents for Christ. Not only were they free in the fire, look in verse 25 again. I'm about ready to take a spell right here. Then answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no what? Somebody say it, church. They have no what? They were just fine in the fire. Hey, some of you. There's some of you right now, you're right in the middle of the biggest fire of your life. And you may not understand what I'm going to say to you, but you're just fine. Because you're not in the hands of this world. You're in the hands of God. You're in the hands of the Lord Jesus, who's in there with you. Somebody help me pray. Really, that's all that matters. Somebody say amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 27. They were preserved by the all-powerful God. Look what it said. And the princes, governors, and captains, and kings, and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was hair on their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. I could just see them coming out. Man, Lord God, I'm getting loose here. I could just see them coming out of the fire. And here's what them guys done. You got a lot on it tonight, boy. Hear me out. They couldn't smell fire. There was no evidence of fire. Because there was a powerful God.
Amen.
That took them through. There's a bunch of us in this room tonight. God's been so faithful to us, and we've overlooked it. God's been so good to us, and we've overlooked it. God's been so mighty to us. He took us through so much, and we've overlooked it. A whole bunch of us ought to be on the altar saying, thank you, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Last thing I'm done. They were persecuted in fire. But thirdly, this right here makes me want to jump up and down. God's people are promoted people. Look in verse 29. And I'll give you two things. First of all, God's person is praised. Now, how about this? How about a king of a government who put all his marbles in Baal's basket? But look what he says in verse 29. Therefore I make a decree that every nation, or every people, every nation and language will speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Let me tell you something. God took you through. Let me give you some real good pastoral advice. Give him all the glory. We're getting ready. Our church is under trial up in Elkview. God's been good to us. Thank God for your vote of $100,000 taken on. But there ain't nothing to make me proud. It's all to give God the glory. Man, just say hallelujah. You know, tell everybody, you better hear me out. God has promoted you. God has made you something in His kingdom. He has. Your name's all over this country. And I'm going to give you some good advice. Give him glory. A little man down in South America named Ram was thanking God for what you've done for him. Give God the glory. You know what? It would be like this. Obama getting on national TV tonight and saying, All them other religions are false. And God is only the only God, and Jesus Christ is Lord. That's how significant that was. Number two, let me show you in verse 30. God's people are promoted. Let me give you something, young preacher. Let me give you something, Mom, Dad. This is important. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. There's a lot of people don't care who they step on to be promoted. And their whole agenda of life is to promote themselves. I believe this. I believe if you just be quiet and serve God with sincerity, He'll promote you. And He'll promote you when you're ready to be promoted. When you've went through the fire. He'll never use you till He breaks you. When you go through the fire, He'll promote you. I want to tell you this. I want to say this as humbly as I can say it. I look back at my life, and I wasn't raised like some of your kids were raised. Now, I don't want to go into all that story. I just want to tell you I wasn't raised that way. But God saved me 43 years ago. Called my unworthy self to preach for Him. And I'll be honest with you, the only thing I knew to do was say yes. And I had never once tried to promote myself. When I came to Taze Valley, somebody put my name in down here. I didn't know, Natalie, that God was going to take this church. And I didn't know this whole community was going to explode around us. And we was going to see this church grow and be an influence. I didn't know that. But I'm going to give you something. Brother Craig, you've been here almost the whole time. Roger, you have. God's promoted us. Let me give you some advice. Give everything to Him. You want God to use you. You want Him to promote you. You want Him to bless your life. Give it all to Him. And He will. He said, preacher, I want some big secret magical formula. Trust God. That's all you have to do. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many right now, you're in a fire in your Christian life. You're in a trial right now. And you want to believe God to take you through it. Just slip your hand up if you're in a trial. Raise it up. Yes, raise them up. All over. Yes, raise them up. Yes. Raise them up. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Unlike anything you've had. Raise it up. I'm not going to expedite this service or try to cut this thing short. And there's some of you. Has God took care of you? Has God blessed you? Has He promoted you? Has He took you through fires? You ought to get around this altar tonight and thank Him. Just before we leave. Let's stand, our Father. God, I want to bow a moment just to tell you thank you for helping me. Use me. Thank you for the message tonight, Lord. Liberty I felt tonight. Bless our people. Trust. God, help them just trust you tonight as we all come around the altar and we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in a crisis, if you're going through something, come on.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Thank you. God will take care of you.
Well, bless his name.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide.